I wish I could hit the high note that Glenn hits.
I wish you could hit the high note that Taco hits.
Oh my god. That would be a good way to start the episode. Just have Taco scream.
You think so? I would turn it off. I would... I would absolutely turn this podcast off so fast.
Just throw your headphones.
Screaming right in the mic.
It is so loud.
Mm-hmm. And high pitched.
And not good sounding. Really, really not good sounding.
No.
Kind of hurts. It defies all expectations.
It's cute if you own the dog or you know the dog, but if you don't know the dog, the last thing you want is that ever.
That
in
noise.
Your life.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it.
Not nice.
Not nice at all. So what's up? What are we up to?
I was going to ask you about how you rate the Michigan seasons. Like, what do you have different names for them?
Winter is the worst. What do you mean? Like different names?
Well, instead of like winter, do you have like how I always joke that there's winter and instead of spring we get mud season.
Oh.
And then there's like a season before summer, but after spring, where it's no longer mud season, but it's not summer yet. And I call that everything smells like shit season because everyone's spreading manure on the fields.
That's true.
I just thought of it today, and I was driving home from work, and I was like, ugh, the whole ride home is going to smell like shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's great living in the country, isn't it?
Oh, so great.
So great.
Awesome. I love the smell of shit.
Just like spread everywhere.
Yeah. And there's two seasons. There's always the shit spreading season at the end of the harvest too. So
I wonder, like, when those people come home, do they just still smell like shit?
I can answer that question. They take all their clothes off in the garage.
That's smart.
Yeah. Yeah, because, growing up in the middle of BFE, I had a lot of friends who were farmers, and if I had to help on chores, I couldn't wear them, any clothes that I wore to help on chores past the garage.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. I had the same rule when I was working as the tender for the mason, because, like, I was just covered in cement dust so badly. Mm-hmm. I would just need to, like, peel off my clothes and then just, like, tiptoe to the shower.
Yeah. Or run, depending on how cold it is.
Yeah, that.
Could be a sprint if I needed to. Only time you'll see me sprint.
Right. I don't run. Not a runner, so.
We disc golf, so we just walk through the woods. There is no sprinting involved.
No need. And that's the perfect sport for me. Fuck running. I see people run, and I'm like, you must be like either a psychopath or like a
murderer? You're a crazy person.
Serial killer, that's the word. We should just start with this too. My brain is on I'm on a new ADHD medication, so I could just like start a sentence and by the end of it not have any idea what I was talking about. So
yeah. Kyle already forgot why we're here, so this is the Oh No Disc Golf podcast, and we're here to talk. That's it.
Yep, we're gonna just chat.
Not about anything specific. We're just gonna talk.
It's nice. I'm Kyle. That's Eric. This is the show we do.
And this is the show.
We're on episode 101, so if you haven't listened before, you have some things to go listen to. We just had
some
amazing interviews.
And it's a perfect time to jump in.
Yeah, that's true. Well, any time is, really, but... I feel like we pretty well in, like, you know, each episode is its own thing.
There's a couple episodes, though, where I was like, if you started on that one and you stop listening after that one, I completely understand.
That's true. There was a couple episodes that were like, what is even going on? Yeah.
Yeah. So now I feel like we've gotten to like a good level of we get off the rails a lot, but we're also talk enough about the subject matter at hand, whatever that is.
So. I like it. I like it. I like tangents too.
Yeah, tangents are good. Tangent life are great.
All right.
Are sines and cosines.
Yeah. Check out Disc Baron. Use code 155402 for 10% off. And you can go over to our Teespring store and use code ONO to get some free shipping. Fuck regular shipping that you have to pay for.
I think OR was the correct one, because it's not like you have to do both of them.
That's true.
You could choose one or the other. I get ideally what you were saying. But like support us both ways, but
you shouldn't promote only go do one. Yeah. If you
were gonna choose one, go to the Teespring store, because we don't get really anything from Discman.
Yeah. we have social medias, but only go to the Instagram, because everything else is trash except for the YouTube. Go on YouTube too. Please subscribe. We have like 160 subscribers on there. We can get more. Come on, guys.
Facebook's fine. We get most of the stuff is shared from Instagram to Facebook anyway.
They're doing better about that. Like almost all of the posts go on there now.
Yeah, for a while, a lot of the reels wouldn't go.
It was super annoying. I think
they didn't have like the same, even though they had like the same reel system, it's like they didn't.
Yeah.
But
they repaired it. This is all Facebook, right?
Yeah, it's all owned by Meta now, so I don't understand, but
thanks, Zuckerberg.
That's a whole nother thing that we don't have a podcast for. To talk about stuff we don't understand. That would be a podcast. That is an idea.
Just there's give a us a topic that we have zero idea about.
Yeah, and we just talk it out. We don't do any research. We don't Google anything. We just talk it out until we think we understand it. So episodes could range from like an hour and a half to like
15 seconds.
Exactly. Yep.
Like, oh, I concede.
You win. But back to the subject matter for the Oh No Disc Golf podcast. Beaver State Fling was this weekend, and it was wonderful. It was great in every sense of the word.
Eric's going to tell me all about it, because I didn't catch it yet. I'm going to catch it on Jomez. Eric,
Central Coast.
Central Coast. Fuck. He said this earlier too. That's my brain right now, guys.
So just a couple things though before we get to what I'm going to tell you to watch. It was a Silver Series event. It was the largest and most talented field at a Silver Series event that they've ever had. So I'm wondering if that will turn it into an elite.
That's kind of like a dig at like every year. Other Silver Series that's ever happened.
I guess. I think it's just,
yeah, you guys kind of suck.
It's just reminding people that this, like, I don't know, everyone. I feel like Beaver State Fling and Milo McIver is up there, and like people who play disc golf love it as much as they love like MVP or Maple Hill.
For sure.
And it is such a beautiful course. It has a completely different look than like Maple Hill, because it's in a completely other side of the United States. So naturally it would. But it was awesome. And they played a whole new layout. They combined like the two courses that are there into making like a gold layout.
How did it seem to like change the play? Anything like positive, negative, better flowing?
I think it just allowed kind of more people to like spread out. It was, because to me, if you go back and look, I think at last year's, everything seems kind of like everyone's on top of each other. And so it just kind of gave more room for everyone to kind of spread out and move through the full property instead of only half the property.
Okay. That makes sense.
I don't think it changed play at all. It all seemed, you know, like scores seemed pretty similar. It didn't take like any, I feel like they did a good job of making sure they kept like some of the signature holes or like enough of the signature holes to be there. If that makes sense. It does sound like
okay.
It makes sense.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. They didn't like take away anything from the course.
Yeah. Yep. But yeah, it played great, and they didn't have any broadcasting issues, which is always huge because it's a heavily wooded course. It's
good
really
job.
Long.
That's yeah, crazy.
So I think, I mean, if you're looking for any reason to turn this into more of like a bigger event, it has all the reasons to. You know, obviously people like to play it, and I mean, I guess I say no broadcasting issues. I mean that meaning I did not see any, but I normally don't see as many as other people complain about, but I also didn't see any complaints about it, so.
Hey, all right. Yeah, usually people complain right away.
Yeah. If you're going to watch any coverage from it, I suggest the final round of FPO. If you had to choose one round, watch the final round of FPO on Central Coast Disc Golf. The two people in the lead, Jennifer Allen and Alan Hanley, just were literally shot for shot and didn't let up a bit. So it was just a fun watch. And if you didn't see, Jennifer Allen opened her final round with an ace on hole one. And so that's
incredible.
Pretty cool.
I did see that.
That's
like
a
the
sweet shot.
Highlight of the tournament, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think she made it onto the Sports Center.
Yeah, someone said she made it onto Sports Center at number two, and then some golfer hit a hole in one, and then it got removed.
Weird.
So, I don't know what that means. I was like, I feel like you can't get removed if you're on the Sports Center top 10. But
right. Like, that's pretty.
Like, you're already there, so.
Right. Like, what are they going to do? Kick you out?
Rewind time. And
all right. Anyway.
And then Eagle won MPO side. It is his third time winning. The only reason I'm talking about this is his third time winning, and it's also his third time playing it. So,
that's a good average.
Batting 100, and then
yeah.
I also read this, and I was trying to find it, and I'm like starting to doubt myself that I read this, and I like dreamt it up. But it said it was his first ever Silver Series start. Like, it's the first time he's ever competed in a Silver Series.
Was his first time
was
at Beaver?
Yeah, was this tournament. So he's never ever competed at a Silver Series event until this tournament is what it said. So
but
I thought that was weird.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, Silver Series are like a step below like your typical event.
But hasn't he played isn't that
Beaver Silver State Fling hasn't been a Silver Series event all the time. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's my confusion. My bad.
Yeah, no. It hasn't been a Silver Series event. It was. So they were gonna use Milo McIver for the Portland Open, I think 2 years ago, but then storms like ruined it. So I have to look up the years that he won the Beaver State Fling, but he won it as like an A tier, so like not even on the pro tour one time.
Oh.
And then multiple, yeah. But
gotcha. So it's getting bigger.
Oh yeah, yeah. But it's been a Silver Series and an Elite before. I just don't know why it's not an Elite this year.
Weird.
Should be personally, but And then another suggestion for Disc Golf Network is put Nico on every featured card, because there is loads of people who want to watch him fail.
So many people.
So many people want to watch him fail.
Deservedly. He's kind of a terrible person.
I mean, yeah, but...
So...
Put him on. Put him on. Just put him on the card. It'll make good entertainment, and...
Everyone will be happy. People watch just to hate watch, right?
Exactly, yep. That's, we talk about hate listening all the time, and now people will hate watch.
I get it.
You may lose a few people who don't like Nico so much. They don't want to see him at all, but that's a chance I'm willing to take.
I don't want to see him at all, but that's just me.
That's fair. That is fair.
It is. Nico, look asshole.
From Weast Side Discs.
Weast Side. Honestly, that's the best joke we've ever made.
And then I had the pleasure of going to Kingston High School and teaching a bunch of high schoolers and junior high people about disc golf.
Did any of them know about disc golf?
Yeah, quite a few. There's a few people that have like played it in some aspect.
That's cool. Really
get a chance to kind of, you know, I'm only given about 40 minutes to like talk to them. Well, 40 minutes to talk to them and then let them also play. So,
oh, okay.
It's not like enough time to really
quick
dive
clinic
into it enough. Yeah. Yeah. So I just taught the basics of each throw, like, you know, a backhand, forehand, and then I even taught like overhand shots, because I know that's sometimes easier starting out, because to me there's less involved. Like, you might not be able to pinpoint where you want it to land, but if you can throw something over top of your head, you can usually get it to fly pretty decently.
And it's really wildly important in Michigan to have that kind of shot.
Yeah, I still don't use it, but the gym teacher asked me about my overhand shots, and it's like one of my go-tos, and I'm like, I have thrown more today overhand shots than I have thrown, I think, the rest of my life.
Yeah, not your game, but no, it is really successful for a lot of people.
Oh yeah, oh I know, I watch it all the time in Cassidy. But yeah, there was a lot of people that kind of took to it. One kid threw it 335 feet. Never playing have played disc golf before.
It's insane.
Yeah. But it was a really good win for it too. It was like a huge tailwind with like a slight right to left angle to it. So it was like the best angle for carrying discs. But still, to get it out to 335 and having never played. It was also really interesting to see like how the different like cliques or groups of kids, you know, like tried to take to disc golf, you know.
Okay.
You get like the jockey, like sports guys be trying to like throw the disc and do as much as they can to throw the disc as hard as you can.
Right.
And then you'd get like the kids who are, you could tell, were mostly just doing gym class because they had to. But like, would kind of like, you could tell we're enjoying it a little bit more and trying to actually learn a little bit more.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then, you know, even like the kids who want nothing to do with it still seem to take to it. There was one girl, I'm not going to say any names because they're all young, but she had no interest in playing. She, you know, she's like, do I have to? And I'm like, well, you know, I'm not the teacher, but I'm assuming you have to get some sort of a grade.
Right.
And so I hooked her up with some discs I thought would be good for her. And she was throwing the mid range, like a consistent 180, 200 feet by the end of the class period. So
that's all you need, man.
Kind of cool to see.
That's awesome. Hashtag grow the sport sustainably.
Unfortunately, I did not have any recycled discs. I mean, they're all my discs, so I guess they're recycled in a way.
Yeah, technically. They're, yeah.
We had one kid accidentally throw over the school, so not like the whole school,
But. Yeah, I was gonna say, like, that's quite a shot.
Yeah. Hopefully, we're hoping he didn't hit a truck. I didn't hear anything, so if we did, we'll have to cut that.
Cut that.
It was a lot of fun, and taught me a lot about what I know. Like, I've never been much of a teacher, but it kind of pushed me to do more teaching, and
yeah, big time.
That was interesting, for sure.
Did you like it?
Yeah. I mean, it's not something I could definitely do all the time. Like, I can never do it as a job, period. Like, there's no way. But I could see it being more of like a, if I seen any of the high schoolers out, like, trying to learn how to disc golf, you know, like, again, I'd be more interested in doing, like, one-on-one or, like, you know, smaller groups. And these were still pretty small. This was, like, I think the biggest class I had was, like, 22. So it's not like it's, like, 50-person classes. It's yeah.
Big difference. But, yeah. Well, good job.
And then it was pretty good for my self-esteem listening to all the kids and adults ooh and ah at being able to throw a disc as far as I can, which isn't that far compared to other disc golfers, but
to somebody who's like never thrown a disc, it's pretty crazy.
But it's like, you know, even like it's funny because you don't get that out of like even like the people you go with that aren't that good at disc golf. They've played with somebody that's like better than you or on the same level as you. So they like when they first see that disc fly like 300 plus feet for the first time, they're just like, holy cow.
Right.
And so hearing that is like, I don't know, even though it's just high schoolers, it still is pretty, feels cool to know that I can do something that a lot of people think is cool.
You're so cool, Eric.
I know.
That's really the main goal. That's what you're saying. It was just
the high schoolers ego at home from don't think I'm cool.
High schoolers. Oh, shit. Well, at least they didn't like boo you off the field.
That's what I told. It's the school my daughters go to, and I told them, I said, if they bully me, I'm going to cry. So.
Day man. Ah. No, it's the same thing. But all right. What do you got, Eric? You got a tournament next weekend?
I have two tournaments this coming weekend. I have two-rounder in Saginaw at Wicks on Saturday, and I have a two-rounder in Hunts in Otisville. It's like the private course, like the local private course.
Wow. Look at you go. That's going to be a marathon.
Yeah. Well, the one in Saginaw was originally supposed to be the weekend of May 5th.
And, oh, it got pushed.
Yeah, there was like a softball tournament, like a huge softball tournament where like every field was going to be used. So the amount of cars that was going to be there was just going to
fuck everything up.
Yeah, so... So, yep, they had to move it to this Saturday, which is unfortunate, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, that's life. That's cool, though.
But that is going to be our buddy Andrew Garza's first time being the TD. So, pretty excited to see how he does and see if he enjoys
very exciting.
Love it. I think he's already, because he took over for... He runs Wicks, the leagues in Saginaw now. So okay. I feel like that gives you an idea of if you think you'll enjoy it at all.
Yeah.
And he's been fairly enjoying that. So I think he'll enjoy the tournament. And then everyone knows him. So, you know, it's not like you're putting yourself out in front of hundreds of people that have no idea who you are.
Right.
It's a little bit different.
Pretty easy to just, yeah, be among your friends.
Yep. But Tim Barham, discraft player, is going to be there, so that's kind of cool. And yeah, so should just be a big long weekend of disc golf, and we'll see if I'm alive at the end of it all.
Let's root for Eric.
Oh, and this has nothing to do with the tournaments I'm doing, but down in Ypsilanti, there's a doubles tournament, and Emerson Keith is actually going to be there with a partner, so that's kind of cool. If you're in the area, two good tournaments if you want to meet kind of some pros that in a different environment than being on like the pro tour.
Right.
So
probably a little bit more relaxed and
I'm sure.
More willing to talk to, you know, random people. So that's probably perfect.
Yeah. Bill said he's just gonna take like Tim Barham's Buzz, like signature Buzz SS, and just like hand it to him. just like not even say like, hey, can you sign this? He's just gonna hand it to
just
him.
Gonna do
I'm like,
it.
What if he just takes it? And he's like, I don't know. I guess I gave a disc to Tim Barham.
Yeah, either way. It's a story.
Mm-hmm. Have you played any Disc Golf Valley? Like, when's the last time you played?
Oh, probably a year ago.
You should just open it up and see everything they've added. There's so much stuff. It's insane.
Okay.
There's like a multiplayer ranking now system where you can like, you know, play against people online and then like actually get like a rating and ranking for it. The amount of discs you can get now are crazy. They added like Discraft. They added in Discmania, Castoplast.
Yeah, back when I was playing, it was just Latitude. That one. Yeah, Latitude. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then they added in real life courses. You can play Emporia Country Club, and you can play Nokia Finland, like the tournament for European or the course for European Open.
That sounds dope. So I'm gonna have to go check this out now.
Yeah, so it's a lot of fun. It's been like my in between game whenever I like have a little bit of time. Even if I don't like play a whole round, I'll just go and like mess around on one of the newer courses that I haven't gotten that good at. But tons of fun.
That's awesome. Yeah, the game had gotten a little bit stale to me because there wasn't new courses. So
yeah,
that sounds amazing.
That's why I stopped playing a while ago. And then I made the mistake of joining the Facebook group surrounding it. And holy cow, do those people there take it seriously?
People are really good. Probably better at the game. Like, most people are way better at the game than in like real life.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, they're shooting like neg 16s on like a 9-hole course in the game.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So that's what kind of turned me away from the game is to play like the pro tour. You had to like average. It was four rounds. You had to average like anywhere from like a neg 10 or a neg like 13, you know, somewhere in there for four rounds to place anywhere like on the leaderboard.
It was really tough. And,
yeah. So it was that's like I could get over like the staleness of not having new stuff, but I have no chance of ever being anywhere close to these guys.
It's just like back to real life.
Yeah, but now with like the ranked multiplayer, you can play against people that are like within your your rating and stuff. Yeah. So
that makes sense. That's good. Yeah, glad they fixed it.
Mm-hmm. So it's been fun. Oh, and in the ranked multiplayer, you get to see their shots. Like you actually get to see how they threw their disc. So that's kind of interesting, you know, just to see. It's actually pointed out some new things for me to throw that are easier and safer. So
I like it.
And then I thought of this thing that I was just talking about, Disc Golf Valley. So you know how like in YouTube when you try to watch a video and you get ads? Well, I don't know if you still have like the ad-free YouTube, but you get, you know, like when you try to watch a 20-minute video, you'll get like two breaks for ads or whatever it is, right?
Yeah. Yep.
What if they transferred that to gas pumps? So you get like $20 worth of gas, and now you got to watch a 30-second ad in order to pump out the last $10 of your gas.
I would hate it. There are gas stations that play an ad.
I know. Most of them do. Most of them do play like an ad the entire time. And when they first started, or not when they first started, but a lot of them had ways you could mute it. They had like a little button you could hit
for sure.
Now they removed that. Yeah.
So stupid.
I know. Yeah. I was just thinking about that when I was getting gas. I was like, what if in the future, and now I set it on like a recorded thing with my phone sitting here, so it'll get back to Google and they're going to find a way to make that work.
Well,
well, I was thinking, so like me, there's like 3 or 4 stations I know of. Gas stations that I know of that I can go to that don't have a screen, so I'd be good. You know, I could just plan around going to those gas stations unless I really needed to. But if you live in the city, there's almost no gas stations that don't have screens.
Yep. It's annoying as shit. I fucking hate it.
So sorry if that comes to if you have to start doing that. Would you just, so let's say like it was every $5, would you just pump gas in $5 increments and that's it, so you didn't have to watch it?
I would not go there, or if it was everywhere I would just like blow up my car.
Never a better time to switch to an electric car.
Yeah, jeez.
Yeah, but now you gotta like watch ads on your Tesla as you're charging.
Oh no. Just turn the screen
anyway
all right. Top
ick three. I don't know if that did that make sense.
I don't know.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we're still out of top five ideas, or good ones anyway. So we're just we came up with some questions we're gonna answer for each other.
Yep.
My first one for Kyle is what was your favorite TV show as a child?
Probably my absolute number one favorite would be SpongeBob.
Yeah, it's still funny today. I still see clips on Facebook Instagram or whatever, and I still laugh at them.
Every once in a while on Reddit, there will be some subreddit that just like posts an entire episode, and damn it, if it doesn't just like take over 15 minutes of my life instantly. But like, yeah, it's a great show.
It's not
show.
That I plan to watch SpongeBob, but it took over.
For sure. It's like super long running now. I don't like the new seasons at all, so don't watch those. But the old ones, the like season 1 through 6 are amazing.
I have no idea. There's been so many seasons that I wouldn't even know where to stop.
Yep.
I mean, I would if I watched them, because I'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, this isn't good anymore.
Yeah, that's SpongeBob. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, I watched a lot of SpongeBob as a kid. I was also really, and I feel like there's probably a lot of kids that grew up on MythBusters, but I watched so much MythBusters. I would rewatch as many episodes as I could watch.
I watched it a lot too.
Of MythBusters, I loved MythBusters. I knew what it was.
Adam Savage, he's still doing shit on YouTube now.
Which one's Adam?
Not the beret guy.
No, not the guy with the walrus mustache.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah, other guy.
Now I thought that like both of them were funny, and then just I don't know. Is mostly you just gotta watch like ballistic dummies get exploded or
everything always has to explode at the end.
Yeah,
That was like their theme.
Yeah, I watched a lot of sticking with Discovery Channel shows like Monster House or whatever too. And those like Monster House, Monster Garage, and like the Pit My Rides were so funny because it was like. We wasted so much money to build something that's damn near unlivable and damn near undrivable.
So stupid. It basically ruined my ride. Yeah. And it was so bad. It's all
meme
fake.
For the meme for Pimp My Ride, it would be like, yeah, you know, I just need a nice, reliable car to get my kids to school and whatever. Right. Oh, we put an aquarium in your back seat. Oh, where are my kids going to sit?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They can go in the aquarium. They're fish now.
I see you also have Avatar, The Last Airbender on here as one of your favorite TV shows as a child.
And if you didn't like find a friend who was also into that, an imaginary, like, have like a fucking, you know, pretend you're like a firebender and just like run around the yard. If you never did that, you never lived.
I was always afraid. I thought it was like the nerdy thing to watch, but then like my nerdy friends were like too nerdy, where like Avatar was like it was not the cool thing for the nerd crowd, but it was like too nerdy for like the regular people, quote unquote regular people crowd.
It was definitely a weird show, but yeah, really like, good show.
Because it was like, oh, it is, it's great. But it felt like the people who would enjoy normally something like Avatar was watching more like Chinese anime, yeah, or whatever.
For sure. And then I had my last one was Invader Zim. And
I never got into that.
It's like I don't know.
I've watched it. I've seen episodes, but it was never something that I like watched a lot of.
To be fair, I really enjoyed it. It's like one of those shows that's like, this is a kid's show?
Right, yeah. Like Ren and
Stimpy. How did they get away with this?
Yeah.
This is weird.
A lot of like, the Avatar series as a child either, but when they put it back on Netflix, finally got to like sit down and watch through the whole thing and get like the full storyline. Like I would watch Avatar if it was on, but I never like
got the full storyline. So dope.
Yeah, the full storyline, like as a kid,
as an adult. It was awesome to like go back and rewatch it. Like,
yeah,
all in a row,
and taken so much more than you did as a kid.
Right. I feel like Invader Zim was really similar to like Courage the Cowardly Dog in that same kind of vein as like not really for kids, but it's a kid's show.
Yeah.
It's just going to scare the shit out of all the kids. Give them nightmares.
So what's your opinion on the Courage the Cowardly Dog? Everything's a normal world. It's just the dog is seeing it through his eyes, you know, because like dogs are afraid of more things than humans are because they're living in.
I think that theory kind of holds up.
I haven't
but
watched
also
it enough to
it's
know.
A cartoon about, you know, a dog who talks sometimes, so
I guess, yeah. But is that just him thinking he's talking and the parent, like the owners, thinking they understand him?
I mean, they don't understand him.
Oh, okay.
So,
see?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably, Eric. Probably.
Now you ruined it. Sticking with pop culture and other things and cinema, did you have a movie that was super influential in your childhood? This childhood can be like, I don't know, anything 18 and under to me, too.
I would say the Nightmare on Elm Street series.
That's why I figured it would be like a comedy.
It is.
It wasn't meant to be a comedy.
The old ones are so funny.
Yeah, but that's because there's like an extra 10, 20 years removed from when they were made.
That's, yeah, huge. No, like, weren't they, like, back in the 70s?
I think 80s.
For a couple of them? Oh, my gosh.
I think first one was 80s, like, 82, maybe.
Okay. Well, that was close. Count it. But, yeah, I would say that they were, like, the first, like, quote-unquote scary movies that I watched. And they were just great. They're so not funny, but they're They're great. I watched like all of them. Multiple times. Bad.
Dude, I used to own all of them.
We would just put it on in the background.
Yeah, they were so bad. So bad. See, I was I grew up on like Grind and Wayne's World.
All right.
Like those movies just like live in my head rent free, like quotes. Just think about them all the time.
That makes sense.
And now we almost do a Wayne's World-esque show.
We do.
We just don't have a Davenport in my mom's basement.
Yeah. I'd be in the closet. Hooray.
Hooray. All right. And finally, rate the gummy candies of the world. You don't have to, like, I don't know, top three?
I think
what's your top
this one's
three
really
favorite
difficult.
Gummies?
Well, they're all American gummies, so.
Oh, okay. Rate the top three gummies of the America.
Just my favorites.
Yeah. Yeah, but your opinions, you got the show, so your opinion's really the only thing that matters.
It does. All right, so how I'm going to answer it is my current addiction is Lifesavers, gummies, collisions. So they combine two flavors into one snack. So it's like the best thing you could eat. In terms of gummies, I think, at the moment. I used to be really on gummy worms that are sour, but...
They're your typical sour neon worms. Everyone's seen them or had them.
The Trolley, specifically brand. Not a sponsor.
Everyone's had them at some point in their life, if you're from America.
They are quite good, but at the moment... Lifesavers, number one in the world.
So those Lifesavers, what's your favorite flavor? Do you have one, or it doesn't matter? They're all good.
They're all good. I like the blue one specifically. I think it's supposed to be like pineapple. I don't like pineapple, so it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't taste like pineapple, but
right.
I really like it.
And I don't really like gummies that much, so...
Highly recommend. Yeah, they're most of them have like, you know, gelatin in them, which is ground up animal bones. So Eric tries to stay away from.
But even before, I just
animals.
If I wanted to chew something, I would chew gum.
You're a savory guy, not a sweet guy, so it makes sense.
Yeah, potato chips. I'm all about potato chips.
Give me them chips
and peanut butter, and. And that's episode 101.
101, guys.
Thank you guys for joining us. I was thinking for like our new exits, Kyle, instead of like saying catchphrases, we would just sit here quietly until the next episode or whatever they're listening to next plays.
And it just kind of ends.
Yeah, whenever we stop talking. Catch you on the flip side.
Fuck you!